Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Today, we are going to finish our Abide sermon series, and I think, a fantastic title, and I would like to ask you to repeat it after I share it with you, if you could say it out loud after I reveal it in a moment, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. You probably don't even need to turn to your Bible to recite it, but we're gonna read that together in a moment. But the title in our final sermon in our Abide sermon series is, now you're going to repeat it after I say it, right? You're going to repeat it, those that are watching online as well, repeat this with me. This is the title of today's sermon. I am sheep. I am sheep. Come on, do it one more time. I am sheep. And what do sheep say? Huh? What do they say? Baa, right? So turn to your neighbor and say, you're such a cute little sheep. Okay, so you might not like that. You might not think that's a compliment. That's not maybe necessarily a confession of power and strength, especially as I begin to describe sheep and how stupid they are. you might want to retract that, but one of the greatest kings who ever was, one of God's men that was after his own heart, one who God loved and who loved God, who did great and mighty things, who slayed giants, was a giant killer. He recognized he was a sheep. And he knew sheep. He knew sheep, and he knew what it meant to be a shepherd, and a good shepherd, a shepherd that actually laid his life down for his sheep as he killed a lion, he killed a bear, he tended to the sheep, right? And he wrote this, one of the most popular passages in Scripture. He wrote this. And so unless you can come to the understanding and revelation that you are a sheep, then you can't experience the incredible promises and provisions and benefits that the shepherd will bring you. See, to unlock the good shepherd into your life, you have to confess and recognize that you are a sheep. And the more you understand the characteristics of a sheep and can accept that, the more you will unlock the power and benefits of a good shepherd, the greatest shepherd, and his name is Jesus. Amen? So, Psalm 23. In fact, if you want to join me, I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. It's probably one of the most familiar ones. So I'm going to read it out of there. It may be on the screen behind me. But follow along. Those that are watching online, read it with me out loud, if you would. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son, the Good Shepherd, to be a lamb, to rescue us, that we could be your sheep. Jesus, thank you for being willing to sacrifice your life, to pay our debt. Thank you. Holy Spirit, help me once again get out of the way of the Word. Let the Word go forth and bring revelation. Let it become rhema to people, that they can receive and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I am sheep. I am sheep. It unlocks the power of the good and great shepherd. Jesus in John chapter 10 shares this parable and this illustration to the Pharisees and to his disciples. He says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hear and know my voice. He's a good shepherd. David acknowledged and had the revelation, this incredible revelation, not the fullness of it, but enough to know that Jesus, God, was his shepherd. Even as David knew that. And I believe the more you have a revelation of who God is, the more it will reveal who you are, that you can walk in the purposes that God has for you. So the more you know that he's a good shepherd, the more that you can know that you are his sheep, that he will protect and that he will guide, and that even before your enemies, he will prepare a feast for you. He will bless you. He'll never leave you. That you have access to his house forever, to dwell with him. This entire series has been about us and God's commitment to us, so that we can make a commitment to abide in him. When you realize his commitment and that he went all in for you, he held nothing back for you. He determined that you were super duper valuable to him. And that he wants you to dwell with him forever. Then you and I get to make a decision to abide in him. To abide in him. That's our responsibility. And Jesus promises that if we abide in him, he will abide in us. And that we will bear fruit, and fruit that will remain, that we will produce a great harvest. Hallelujah, Bethel Church. Are we not going to produce a great harvest this year? Yes we are. Come on. But how are we going to do it? Not in our own strength, not in our own power. It's with his spirit and his power and his love. But if you're going to walk in his power and his spirit and his love, you have to make a decision, which he's given you the grace to do every single day. Do you understand that? That we are without excuse as Christians. We are without excuse, that we can make a choice every single day. There's enough grace every day for you and I to make a decision, not in our own willpower, but by the grace of God. There's enough grace every day for us to make a decision to abide in Jesus. Every single day, we have the opportunity and the power to make that choice. But it's still our choice. It's your choice. Do you want to live on a little deposit of His love and grace? Or are you going to take time with that love and grace to abide in Him and fill up with His grace, fill up with His power, fill up with His love, so that you can bear some fruit? And hallelujah, fruit doesn't have to struggle to produce itself. It just pops up. The grace of God and being filled with the grace of God allows you to look like life is easy. And we know it's not. But when you're living in the grace of God, in His presence, in His love, life is easy. Man, Pastor Mike, you seem to contradict yourself. You just said life is not easy. It's not. This is the paradox. It's super duper hard. Life is hard. And Jesus said it would be hard. But be of good cheer, He said, because I've overcome the world. Cast your cares and your burdens on Me, all you who are heavy laden. How about you? I wake up and I can look out going, oh my goodness, there's a lot of problems. This is why we must make a decision every day to abide in Him. Because if we'll abide in Him, He promised that He would abide in us. So, I am sheep. Why do you need that revelation today? Why do we need this revelation that I am sheep, that you are sheep? Because if you get this every day, you will not miss abiding with the Good Shepherd. If you realize how foolish and easily deceived and helpless you are, you won't live alone. You won't live apart from Him. See, Jesus said this, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. What was Jesus saying? It's like almost impossible. In fact, it is impossible. But the good news is this, that Jesus is in the work of making the impossible happen and actually look easy. But if you don't recognize you're a sheep, if you don't recognize your need of a Savior and a shepherd, you may never enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, the first characteristic of a sheep that we need to recognize and accept is this, that sheep are terrible with direction and a sense of direction. Now, you might have a spouse that you go, yeah, she definitely a sheep, right? Even GPS, and like, this is where you are, this is where you're going, and it's like, babe, just tell me what road's ahead, right? I mean, it's saying this, Julie. So the first characteristic of a sheep is that they have no sense of direction. No sense of direction. A terrible sense of direction. They have no idea where they're going. They're good followers. It's good characteristics. And we'll get to some good characteristics, but this isn't that one of them. They have a terrible sense of direction. In fact, there was a story I read about that was in eastern Turkey. And some shepherds got distracted with breakfast, and 1,500 of their sheep headed off a cliff. 1,500 sheep fell off a cliff. Now, the bad news is the first 400 died. The good news is because sheep are fluffy and woolly, their lives saved the 1,100 other sheep that came after them as they had a soft thing to land on. True story. Look it up. 1,500 sheep. Not one of them had a sense of direction of like, we're going off a cliff. Another story I read about a farmer who had sheep. He'd opened the gate for the sheep and he put a rope across the entrance of where the gate was. And the sheep would jump over that rope. They'd jump over, they'd bounce over the rope. And after three or four jumped over the rope, he dropped the rope. But the remaining sheep jumped like the rope was still there. Kind of crazy. But pause for a moment and recognize you are sheep. Oh, well, I know where I'm going. I got a great sense of direction. Really? If you cannot acknowledge that you had a terrible sense of direction that you were born with, your heart, your sinful, selfish heart was leading you toward a cliff of eternal destruction. You had no clue where you were going. You thought you were pursuing the blessed life, the abundant life, happiness. But ultimately, your heart was directing you toward an eternal cliff that would separate you for eternity from a good, good shepherd and a good, good father. We were born sheep with a terrible sense of direction. You have to acknowledge that. To become a Christian, you have to acknowledge this characteristic of sheep. You have no idea how to get to heaven. You're clueless. Until the truth is shared. And even then, how did any of us get it? Like, really? It wasn't, oh yeah, I got it. You didn't get it. Like, you know, like you could puff up and go, well, you know, thank God I got it. No, thank God he opened your eyes to get it. Thank God he drew you. Amen? Not, oh, I'm smart enough to get it. No. No, we're not. We're stupid like sheep. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? So, Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53, 6. We've all gone astray, all of us. Now, here's the thing. Once you get saved, once you recognize you had a bad sense of direction, don't now think you know how to live and where to go. Don't you think now, oh, now I've got it. And become a self-righteous, prideful person, because the moment you let that in, guess what? You've lost all sense of direction again. But live in such a way that without the shepherd, you could head off a cliff at any moment. At any moment. This is what makes you relevant as a Christian. Not that you've got it all together. No, actually, you're more relevant when you go, I'm a mess, but I'm a loved mess. That God is fixing every single day. And guess what he's working on today? Guess what he's doing today? Guess what he did yesterday? That keeps you relevant. That is what the world needs to see. Not sheep that go, I got it all together. I got this. No, you don't. You don't have it all together. And the moment you do is the moment you've now released the opposition of God. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You have to live in such a way that you know that without the word of God, I can't see where I'm going, because the word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where to go and what I'm stepping on. Amen? So, I am sheep, and I have a terrible sense of direction apart from Jesus and his word. I am sheep, and I can be easily deceived. Number two, as you recognize that you are sheep, sheep are defenseless. They are defenseless. Now, sheep can bite, you guys. And I know this firsthand, because many of you have bitten me. But I could throw you in a headache or a headlock so fast and choke you out. But by the grace of God, I pet you instead. I lay my hands on you in a gentle way. No, but sheep are defenseless. It's pathetic. They're such easy prey. And the devil, guess what? You know how easy it is for you and I to be prey of the devil? Jesus has defanged and declawed the devil. Come on. And yet you still let him pounce you. Because you're so defenseless in your own strength. You can't resist the devil. You can't until you submit to the shepherd. The Bible doesn't tell us resist the devil and he must flee. It says fully, submit to God, resist the devil and he must flee. If you're struggling to resist the devil, your struggle is not resisting the devil. Your struggle is submitting to the good shepherd. It's submitting to him. This is the only way you can lose. This is the only way. The devil, he can't bite you. He can gum you. He can lay on you. Okay? But he can't hurt you. Do you understand that as a Christian? He does not have the power to hurt you. Doesn't mean there aren't moments of pain and difficulty, but he can't hurt you. You have to allow that. Do you understand that? People can't hurt you. They can inflict pain on you, but hurt is what's lasting after the pain. Nobody can. You have to actually allow that. You have to go, I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be offended. Nobody has that power but you, because of Christ in you, your hope of glory. You are unbreakable. That's what's true. You actually have to make a decision to be selfish, because that's not your nature anymore. It's not who you are. You have to make a decision to be offended, because you've been so forgiven. You don't have to have unforgiven. You don't have to. You know why? Because you have such a huge bank account of forgiveness having already been accredited to you, that whatever debt or whatever's done to you, you have the ability to go, oh, here, I can take care of it. Forgiven. Oh, hold on. Forgiven. Yo, forgiven. Oh, that was painful. That was uncomfortable. Ow. But I forgive you. I'm not hurt. Now, we all get hurt, but not because there's not grace to not be hurt. We all miss the grace of God from time to time. And what I'm not saying is what people do to us isn't painful. Do not hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying, in fact, it hurts a lot. It is very painful. But where I make a distinction between pain and hurt, hurt is lasting. Hurt continues to cause pain. Where pain is temporary, pain is that trial, that situation, and the moment you're through that, it's no longer painful. But actually, if you allow that pain, can actually strengthen you. That trial can actually mature you. But my point about I am sheep here is you are defenseless. And you become even more defenseless when the devil isolates you. When the devil pulls you out of the pack, away from the other sheep, away from the shepherd. Now, we know the good shepherd will leave the 99 and come after the one. But where is the good shepherd? Where does he hang out with? The sheep. Yes, he goes out, but that's not where he hangs out. He hangs out with believers when two or more are gathered. Guess what? He is present. One can send 1,000 to flight, two 10,000. Yes, we know the heart of the good shepherd is for none to perish, but all to come to know him. We know that he wants the one. He cares about the one. But let's not forget, where does Jesus hang out? With the sheep. Amen. Oh yeah, but I got Jesus, me and Jesus alone. Jesus is coming after the one to take you back, because you're alone and isolated and easy prey. This is not, oh, Jesus is coming to be with me. Me. I don't know where that came from, but maybe it's just how ridiculous that attitude looks. How entitled, how the world evolves around me. The shepherd, if you heard his voice, is get back here. Get back here. Yeah, but those other sheep, they bit me. Do you want to be taken out by wild prey? Do you want to die? Get back here. Yeah, they bit you, but they can't hurt you. It's temporary, and you can forgive. This is what the world needs to see, is that Christians, we have this amazing ability
to love and forget.
You go, well, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Then you really don't get forgiveness. Or you got to go, is that how you want God to forgive you? Like, God, forgive me, but don't forget I did this to you. Is that what you want? Of course not. But guess what? It's what you're living in if that's what you do to others. Because Jesus said this, the same way you forgive others is the same way you will be forgiven. That's how you are living with God. It's not how God wants you to live with him. But if that's what you do to others, that's exactly what you're experiencing with God. This is why I'm like, man, I don't even know what you did. Don't tell me. You're forgiven already. Okay? It's like as quick as I possibly can. Because this is how I want to live with God, my Father. I want him to so quickly forget the stupid things that I've done and not hold those things against me. Because guess what? He doesn't. He doesn't. But if I hold things against others, guess what? It's being held against me. Not because God wants to hold it against me, but because of your stupidity, because of your selfishness, you are going to live as if God is holding it against you. That's not how you want to live, is it? No. But there's a condition, church. If you want to live and feel forgiven, you have to forgive. If you don't, you're just deceived in thinking that you're really living in forgiveness. I didn't say it. I don't fully understand it when Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Jesus said that. Now, here's the thing. Do you have to understand all of that to go, I don't want that? Whatever it is, like whatever Jesus not forgiving me is, do I have to theologically understand that to go, I don't want that? Guess what? Here's the good news. You don't have to. You don't have to understand all of it to obey God. In fact, the Bible says, don't lean to your own understanding, but trust God. This is what pleases God too. You understand that? It's when you don't understand why God's telling you to do this, but you're like, I know he's telling me to do this, and I know the Bible is confirming it. It's not saying contradictory to what it's being said, so I'm going to do it, even though I don't understand how this is good for me, but I'm going to trust him, and man, does God get pleasure when you do that. Why? Because every time you trust God, you're exercising faith, and we know that faith is what pleases God. In fact, we know this, that it's impossible to please God without it. Man, I don't know that I'm going to get all of my sheep illustrations, but I'm going to try. So number three, sheep can't get up without help. All right, I'm going to try this. Follow me, cameras. Sheep. When sheep fall down, their legs go up in the air like this. I've fallen and I can't get up. But here's the deal. We all fall. We all fall down. And if we try to get up without Jesus picking us up, without his forgiveness, all our efforts is this. Okay, well, I'm going to read my Bible 7 days in a row because I did that. Guess what you are? You're a sheep that can't get up. This is what religion produces. Foolishness, silliness. This is what the world trying to get to heaven looks like with its good works. Okay? Get that picture. Do not let your good works try to pick you up. Only Jesus can pick you up. And if you fall, and we all fall, what we say is, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. And here comes the Good Shepherd to pick you back up and set you on solid ground. Amen? Every day, multiple times a day, if you fall, not when, because we're people of faith, but if we fall, because we aren't those that practice sin, we're not planning sin. That's why it's not when we fall, it's if we fall. I'm pretty sure we will, but if it happens in that moment, go, Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Don't let your good works get you on your feet. Number four. Oh, and that one, Isaiah 40:11. We tend his flock like a shepherd. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Number four, we're going to turn this to a positive characteristic now of a sheep in a moment after we first acknowledge. Sheep are emotional. Sheep are very emotional. In fact, they're frightened very easily. Running water scares sheep. This is why it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures beside still waters. Because running water will scare sheep. Now, how are you going to turn this to a positive? Sheep have a great sense of hearing and the ability to hear. And sheep know the shepherd's voice. Church, if we'll wait, if we'll open our Bibles and go, God, give me ears to hear you, you can hear him. You can hear your shepherd's voice. In fact, Jesus said this, my sheep will know my voice. You know, sheep are not meant to carry burdens. They're not donkeys. In fact, pretty pathetic of what little they can carry. But this is good news. This is actually good. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want you to carry your burden. He wants to carry it. He wants you to cast your burden upon him. He just wants you to grow some wool. Carry that light and fluffy, my yoke is easy, my burden is light promise of Jesus. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. Now sheep, we have to recognize this about us. That we very easily settle for less. What do I mean? The shepherd wants to lead the sheep to fresh, living waters. But sheep will settle for muddy, dirty water. Isn't that true so often about us? Don't we settle so many times in our lives for so many different reasons? But God doesn't want you to settle. He doesn't want me to settle. For he has plans for us. He has living water to lead us to. He has an inheritance. He has dreams and visions to be fulfilled in your life. But you must recognize as a sheep that you can easily settle for less. How many have settled for less in certain areas of your life? But all you have to do is let go of it. Get out of that dirty little puddle. Say, God, I give this to you. I'm coming after what you have. I'm done settling in this area of my life. I'm done settling in this area of my life. I am sheep. And when you recognize that you are sheep, you'll recognize that God values sheep. God values sheep. And this is really important to get this, to go, God values sheep. He values it so much that he was willing to let a spotless lamb, a sheep, to be sacrificed. It's that valuable. Sheep are that valuable that he'd be willing to become one and die for all the sheep of the world because of the value of a lamb. Man, if you just got this revelation today that I am sheep and I am valuable, it'd be a game changer. If you got and understood how valuable you were and are to God, you are valuable. Sheep are valuable. It's what God asks for sacrifice. It's what was pleasing to him. It was that sheep are valuable to God. So when you acknowledge this too, I am sheep, I have a terrible sense of direction apart from God. I have no idea how I'm supposed to get to where God wants me to go without a shepherd. When you get that revelation, you go, well, that's, I want to know where I'm going. Right? Guys, humble yourself and go, you have no clue how you're going to get there. Go, God, where are we going? Because sometimes you'll be going this way and go like, I thought we were going over there. Yeah, you don't know the traps that are over there. You don't know the cliffs. We got to go this way. Because this way you get there safely. Amen? Come on, Pastor Mike. You're good sheep preaching today. John chapter 1, verse 29. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Sheep cannot care for themselves when wounded. Oh, this is so true. We try. We can't heal ourselves. We can cope with the hurt. We can medicate the hurt. We can motivate and like work really hard to try to outrun the hurt. We can even meditate about the hurt, but we cannot heal the hurt. Only God has the power to truly heal. And I'm all for helping people cope with different things, but I'm more for people being redeemed and people being healed and made whole. This is what Jesus offers. This is what our good shepherd offers. Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages up the wounds. And then lastly, I'll just end with this. The sheep, they're so innocent. And guess what? If you're his sheep, you've been made innocent.
In Matthew 25, Jesus says, there come a day coming when he will separate the sheep and the goats. Why? Because goats are mean. Goats are not innocent. Now we can go into the characteristic of goats and all of their issues, but we don't have the time today. But let me say this. You don't want to say, I am a goat. Because the goats aren't going with the shepherd. And in Revelation 21, as we're going to close right now with the grace of God. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Sheep are innocent. He doesn't count our sins against us. It's as if we never sinned. We become spotless like the spotless one. Would you bow your heads as we close? Jesus, you are the good shepherd. And we are your sheep. As our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if today you need Jesus, the good shepherd, to help you, to care for you, to direct you, to heal you, to forgive you, to provide for you. If you need to give him your burdens, whatever your need is today, Jesus, your shepherd, is here. And he cares for you. He cares for me. If you're here today or you're watching online, you would say, I need you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus, to be my shepherd today. Would you lift up your hands? Say, Jesus, I need you to shepherd me today. I need your love. I need your provision. I need your healing. I need you to take this. It's too heavy. It's too hard. I need you to forgive me. I need you to come into my marriage. Help me with my kids. Jesus is here. The good shepherd is here. And he's going to do whatever you need. He's going to pick you up and pull you into his bosom. He's going to put you around his neck and carry you if that's what you need. He's going to lead you to water. He's going to do whatever you need today. Because that's who he is. He's a good, good shepherd. Hear his voice. Respond to his love. Church, would you pray this way? Say, Jesus, you are the good shepherd, and I am your sheep. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your provision. I give you my burdens. I give you my problems. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.